Okay, our next speaker had a very specific introduction that I can't put in my own words. So this is his exact instruction to me. Quote, "General Protocols kidnapped me as slave labor and trapped me in a dungeon to write algorithms for them. So this is my one-time appearance," end quote. Representing the moon, we have Jack with Chain Reactions.
Hi, guys. So a few days ago, I was told that whoever was originally on this slot is not going to be available. And so I need to put something together in a presentable shape real quick. So this is something that I've been thinking for a while. And hopefully somebody finds this useful. So, chain reaction. So, as Roscoe described very well just now, BCH is no longer a BTC clone that has very limited ability to do smart things and complex things by design. We now have powerful systems, like cash tokens and other powerful script like introspection and a lift the limit and all kinds of tools. So what do we do with it? So there are several paths to think about this. So some people are off trying to duplicate and adapt and improve things that are already really big, some of them billions of dollars in TVL on Ethereum, and try to do it on BCH, because if you adapt it well enough, it could scale really well. That is awesome. You could also do all the things that Bitcoiners have dreamed about for years, and do some pretty neat transactional ideas that people have been talking about on Bitcoin Talk forever. These are worthy goals, but do we have something novel? And so let's take a look at each one of these ideas. So most of the things that exist on EVM or EVM-like chains typically work like this. As Russell said, you deploy some contracts onto the chain. They exist in one place. You interact with them and they form a tight cluster and users interact with them. The nice thing about this setup is that all the liquidity is in one place. So, if you want to split them, that is fine. But you can, and it's encouraged to put them in one place. And this is very powerful because you got all the liquidity in one place. You got one state for all of this, guys, hopefully. If you screw up your state, then you got a re-entrancy problem and then all your money is gone. This model is widely used in DEXs and a lot of other DeFi applications. The downside is that they are difficult to scale, and if you fail one, you fail all. Compare this to another model, which is that you got a lot of contracts. There is no concept of deployment, and each user strictly interact with another user or another couple of users, and everything is self-contained. So the example for this would be your normal send and receive and any hedge, and so on and so forth. There is a sort of reconciliation between these guys, because eventually Alice sent to Bob, Bob wants to send to Charlie. And, you know, in a sense, they are linked, but you never formally unite all these states. And so the nice thing about this is that it is massively scalable. Everything can be parallelized. And if you screw up in one place, you screw up in one place. You don't screw up for everyone else. the not so nice thing is that your liquidity is broken up into many, many pieces, so it is less useful in many sense. And the reason it has this characteristics is that there is no share state anywhere. The only kind of share state is that, oh, one BCH equals one BCH. That's it. That's your share state. And so before we go on, I think it is important to know how composability works in this context. Funds can flow with low latency through different contracts and users. Like, for example, if you have two completely separate chains, then it's not really composable except through very, very indirect means. You have extremely high latency. And if you have two separate contracts, you could eventually, through very convoluted ways, you could broaden the definition and say that, oh, they're kind of composable, but it's also a very high latency. And the composable things also tend to share some liquidity among them with low latency. And so I was wondering, okay, so does this have to be one or the other? Does everything have to be grouped like within one set of contracts? Or do they have to be like separated, completely isolated between like different little silos of users? Maybe there are new ways to do this. Maybe there are ways that we have explored, but haven't explored that much. What if liquidity exists on a continuum, and users interact with some peers but not the other, and form a web or a chain, and they can pass on some liquidity and state, but not entirely unify all of them. So that is what I have been wondering for a while, and in this intermediate state that shares some pros and cons with each of the models that we have existing in massive quantities today. So one way to do this that I think many people are working towards, especially on UTXO chains, because this fits so naturally, is to unite liquidity and state through alternative means instead of having explicit states. Like, for example, if you have several contracts doing their own thing, maybe they can be united indirectly through abstraction to individual users. Like, we have cash tokens, so why not give each of them some withdrawal tokens? And when you withdraw, you have to withdraw them together. So this is one way that we can say, just chain together the contracts and do something else in high latency so that their liquidity and state is united in a sort of indirect way. You don't have to do everything in low latency. And I have no doubt that some teams are probably working on this. Teams that are trying to do some traditional things like DEXs, perhaps in multiple threads. But then I realized, it is probably doable to, I want to unite the states and liquidity anyway, but I want to just adjust when I do it. What if I don't? What if I don't want to just like simply unite them and just want to pass on some of them in a limited quantity to each of them? And then we get a topology like this. You have a user. It shares some state with the next user, but not all of them. It shares some liquidity with the next user, but not all of them. And then, that user then can then do the same thing to other users, strictly what they know. And in this model, then, will I be able to do like DEXs with this model? Maybe not, but I might be able to do something completely different. And so, again, before we go, before we go on, I think it is useful to also talk about a bit of some other a bit about how trust works on this smart contract, especially DeFi protocols. So most protocols that we look at, you know, like AMM DEXs or AnyHedge and so on, are fully collateralized. Some of them, if they depend on prices, they are even over-collateralized. So if something is fully collateralized and, you know, it's enforced by smart contract, then it is basically safe. And there is no trust required. Or in the case of, or maybe there are some external things like oracles, but it is very minimal. The downside is that it is very expensive to do that. You gotta lock up everything that you could ever need. So some people on, say, ETH have gone a little bit further and say, well, what if we just don't? And then you take some risk. And so if you do that, you become under-collateralized. In theory, this could be a much more efficient use of capital. But since your contract is just out there and you interact with anyone can attack from anywhere. So it can be overwhelmed. And, you know, it has happened to protocols that are overly aggressive. The upside is that it is cheap. You don't need to lock up a lot of capital. And, you know, if nothing really bad happens, it will do the exact same thing that you want with much cheaper. And what if we want to do something weird? What if we don't open the thing to just everyone in the world and just interact and interact with people you know and then you pass on? Then you have localized trust, which is what humans are used to. You know, you trust, you put some risks, you put some numbers on risk, and maybe you want to collateralize a little on the people that you know and you interact with repeatedly, so they will value that trust and they will do the same assessment to you. Maybe you could do some pretty weird things. So, for example, one thing that I've thought of about is investment schemes, because we are in crypto, of course. The classic problem of investment is that, oh, I invest some money into this big pool of things. I don't know, it's ICO or it's even Flipstarter or something like that. But anyway, everyone invests in this big pool to somebody, and then that guy runs away with the money. Or, you know, and that guy runs away with the money, and nothing is follow up with it. Or it could fail, it could succeed, and I have, you know, as one person, I don't have very good ways to know how that would go. And I only have limited numbers of people that I trust, and they are not going to do all the things that I want, and I can't know more people. So the interaction becomes complex. And then people say, oh, what if you just do periodic flip starters? So, you know, you deliver, you get some. Okay, that's a better model, but then there's a lot of burden of fundraising. You will have to reestablish trust, and then, you know, as someone who wants to see a lot of things happening, eventually that becomes unmanageable. What if I just establish automated and low latency connections with some people I trust, and they can withdraw that slowly, and then they can then, you know, move on because they have more expertise in certain social circles. To other people who are doing other things, and so on and so forth. It just takes a few hops to make this go very powerfully. So that is one thing that I've been thinking about. And another thing that I've been thinking about is the question of on-ramping and generally trading with fiat or just non-crypto things. Right now the problem with trading crypto against fiat is that there is, of course, KYC exchanges, which is very not ideal, as many of you would already know. And there were stuff like local bitcoins, where you where you can just find listings online and trade semi-anonymously, whether quickly through bank transfer or very slowly through face-to-face. The problem with that is that it requires a lot of trust. And you will say, oh, yeah, escrows and stuff. No, it still requires a lot of trust. The reason it requires a lot of trust is because the liquidity is pooled. Like, there are, you will eventually get some very big traders because it is easy to do so. And then, you know, the FBI or somebody sends a buyer to that guy and then do one bank transfer and that guy is busted. And he can't really avoid that because in order to be easy access, he needs to deal with a lot of people. There's no way around that. He can't just deal with like 10 people. What if we can establish some sort of I don't know if any one of you heard about the concept of Hawala network, but you know, what if each person can have some credit relationship with just a handful of people that he knows, and then those people can have that with the next batch of people, and you can formalize this relationship online, such that every time you trade, say, BCH, in return, you don't need to pass through several steps of very dangerous bank transfers directly from the buyer and the seller, but instead you just transfer some credit so that any damage that can happen is very limited. Just, you know, Alice trusts Bob, Bob trusts Charlie. Alice doesn't need to trust Charlie. If anything happens between Alice and Bob, it doesn't necessarily affect Charlie. And you can see that this can become much more powerful, and there can be much more liquidity, and there can be more safety if you elongate the chain. And so I don't know if that sounds very coherent, but that's basically what a collection of what I've been thinking about for the past few months. And just generally, I think we should encourage people to think, because we are in a new era on BCH. A lot of things you might not have to choose. You don't have to go, I have a loose collection of things and they are robust, but they don't have liquidity and they are not powerful, or I go the other way. You could choose both and you could do really weird things. So I would encourage people to keep doing weird things. Thank you.
Do we have any questions on this one?
Thank you, sir. Who let you out of the dungeon?
You opened the door. What the hell?
So I have a serious question. All these possibilities, weird possibilities, I know you've thought a lot about these, and they're all very interesting, and I think they're very powerful. What's needed to get there? Like, what are the kind of steps that need to be accomplished to get this?
I know we talked about this before. We need a wallet that can understand transactions and build transactions. And also we need a lot more depth. People who think about this and who understands how do things work at a small scale, and how do things get from a small scale to a large scale.
All right, do we have another question? I have a question, which is, when you had that diagram of the trust network, right? So I'm imagining, like in Selene Wallet, we could have a system where users add other users as contacts, right? Maybe either by addresses or by some abstraction. Are you imagining that you could create a sort of local Bitcoins with users manually setting trust on different people, or would that somehow be automated, that I can kind of send a transaction over my available balance by lending from the trust?
Very, very close, except that you first need to know somebody in this network, or you can start your own network, but it will be unrelated. But, you know, if you, in this network, like, if you know if Jeremy knows Charlie, then he could add that. And then welcome to the gang, right? And it's important to know that you don't have to know Alice or Bob. You only need to know Charlie. And Charlie, you need to have some sort of trust relationship. I can owe you $100. You can owe me $100 with Charlie. And then you add to the power of the network.
So this topology is actually very similar to like the idea of a Lightning Network or a payment channel type of structure, but with some differences. Are you going to explain that?
It is different in one important way. The Lightning Network, we discussed yesterday at lunch, actually, the Lightning Network was trying to do way too many things at once. It was also designed to be a way to encourage people to lock up Bitcoins. It was also designed with the goal of trying to get people to run nodes. Nodes fail. Liquidity is expensive, and nobody wants to provide them. While in this case, it is actually pretty flexible. Like, for example, if you want to join what Charlie has, you don't need to do anything else other than talk to Charlie and agree about it. And all the states, despite saying that, the states are local, but we do have one shared state, which is a UTXO set. And then all of the states is online, so any automated interactions will be extremely quick and atomized. Without, you know, as in the case of Lightning Network, it will have to jump through the physical wires from one node to the other, to the other, to the other, and then back and back and back. And that's why it fails so much, right? But that one is by design, and this one, you know, it is flexible.
Yeah, wow, okay. I hadn't realized that. You have a global view of the state from the UTXO set, so you already know your transaction is feasible before you've made it, and you don't need to lock any capital.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.